This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a Monday edition of the Championship Rounds. Tons to go over. We're fresh off a pretty big fight weekend. We got fights on ESPN, a first time for the UFC, and then we had Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner, which we're going to get to. I will have a guest on the line from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have Amir Ritchie of Elite Boxing. If you want to follow him on Instagram, you can. He is at @AlEetBoxing. If you need to follow him on Instagram, he's he runs another boxing publication on a separate website as well as through Instagram. But anyways, we had a pretty good conversation. I'm recording this after we had our conversation about Pacquiao Broner. I just wanted to talk about briefly about the UFC card that took place last Saturday night that was going on at the same time as the Manny Pacquiao Adrian Broner card. And it was a good showing for ESPN. Really proud of what they've done on a production standpoint. Still don't really believe that Stephen A. Smith is out here covering combat sports, let alone the UFC. And I was really proud of the UFC being able to, you know, for the first time, you know, they're already an established commodity, but being able to show up on a new platform and, you know, put on a show like that, even though there was some technical difficulties with ESPN Plus because the stream stopped for a good while, I think during the Marshman fight, and then I couldn't get it back up. But it was a great card nonetheless. Lots of controversy from the main event between TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo for the flyweight title. We had Rachel Ostovich versus Paige VanZant. And then we also had, what was the co-main? Oh, and then we also had Alexander the Great Hernandez against Donald Cerrone, which was a pretty, pretty good fight. And I was really impressed by Cerrone. Let's talk about that card. Let's talk about that fight night. Let's start off with Donald Cerrone versus Alexander the Great Hernandez. Really, really impressed by Alexander Hernandez and the pace he's able to push, because he was trying to push early. He was really being aggressive against Donald Cerrone, but Donald Cerrone was able to weather the storm and come back. He clocked Hernandez a bunch of times and then ended up with a finish. But at 155, we didn't really know, especially at Cerrone's age, how it was going to turn out, because we thought that, you know, being the young buck and fighting an old guy like Donald Cerrone, you know, who goes through wars arguably against, you know, the top guys in 170 and the top guys in 155, we thought that Hernandez was going to, you know, take him out early. And I thought he was going to take him on the first round, but Donald Cerrone just weathered the storm. So Donald Cerrone looked really good. And then Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich, predominantly took place on the ground. It was pretty much a grappling contest. It was submission for submission. We had Paige VanZant looking for that leg lock early, and then she ended up tapping Rachel Ostovich with an arm bar. And then we saw Rachel Ostovich, unfortunately, in a sling. So we hope she's okay and, you know, wish her a speedy recovery. But it was a pretty entertaining fight. Joseph Benavidez looked really good against Dustin Ortiz. Went ahead and proved that he's still elite at flyweight. Gregor Gillespie's just an absolute animal. And then finished Yancy Medeiros in the second round. Alan Crowder versus Greg Hardy was kind of what I expected. I expected controversy to erupt, especially when it comes to Greg Hardy. But outside of the octagon and outside the football field, I just thought there was going to, I just predicted controversy from the get-go against Alan Crowder. And it happened when he hit Crowder with that illegal knee, and we have Crowder winning via disqualification against Greg Hardy. And we don't know where Greg Hardy goes from here. Does Dana give him another shot? Is he going to sit on this for a while and not have Greg Hardy appear on any cards whatsoever? I think he's better off being on a UFC Fight Pass card than a big mainstream card like the first one on ESPN. And I don't really want to talk about it no more, because it was just a clusterfuck of an event, or a clusterfuck of a fight. It looked blatant too. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he just didn't know the rules or you know, being in New York and all that stuff. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but didn't really expect anything differently coming out of that fight. But let's get to the main event right now, and then I'll have you guys listen to the conversation that I had with Amir about Pacquiao and Broner. Not much can be said, since it was a pretty quick fight between Henry Cejudo and TJ Dillashaw, and he caught him quite frankly, he caught him. He caught him twice. He caught him behind the ear that kind of dropped TJ. Then he caught him with another punch that almost floored TJ. But TJ Dillashaw was still trying to go for a leg. He was still trying to, you know, grab a hold of him and grapple him and clinch him, maybe get him to the ground, who knows. And then the ref stops it. And I thought that the stoppage was early, and I'll side with the general consensus here that it was an early stoppage and that TJ could have gotten up and maybe even beat Cejudo. You could even make the case that he could have beat Cejudo. Because if you look at his fight against Cody Garbrandt, especially the first fight, Cody Garbrandt hit him with a hard shot and floored him. And he is just, there was not enough time in the round for Cody Garbrandt to finish him. But what happened? TJ Dillashaw came back in the second round and knocked out Cody Garbrandt. And you could have easily made the case with this fight. It's just we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen now. And I was kind of critical of TJ coming down to 125. I'm glad that he kind of proved me wrong, because he looked hydrated. He looked healthy the night of the fight. Once he stepped into the octagon, I was pretty impressed with the shape that he was in, considering that he was dropping a significant amount of weight. But with that being said, we don't know what's going to happen now. Does 125 fold? What does the flyweight division fold and from here? I know that Henry Cejudo is still making a case for having the division around. To Dana White, he was pleading his case, calling him Uncle Dana at the post-fight interview. And flyweight kind of showed out that card, because Joseph Benavidez won against Dustin Ortiz. I think he wants to be in there in the mix with Cejudo and fight for the title. And then we got Cejudo, who dominated TJ, even though premature stoppage or not, he finished him and he clocked him twice. So you can make the case for flyweight staying in the UFC, not to mention he already has that nice fancy belt and that I'm still not really too hot on. But you can make the case for flyweight staying. And we'll see this rematch again. I knew there was going to be something, you know, in the works for a rematch, especially if it end. I didn't know it was going to end in this much controversy. I thought that Cejudo would still win, but I knew they would fight again, and it would happen at 135. And TJ wants it. Henry Cejudo wants it. And I think we see another rematch at 135. I don't think it's going to happen immediately, but I think it happens maybe late this year or early next year. I think TJ's still going to try to make some defenses at bantamweight. Who knows what happens with flyweight. If flyweight is still in the mix, Henry Cejudo will make a couple defenses there, and then he'll step up to 135 and maybe become a two-division champion, holding the bantamweight belt and the flyweight belt by beating TJ Dillashaw and then making it a clean sweep with two wins against TJ Dillashaw. But who knows? We have to wait later on this year, and we'll wait till, you know, see what happens next year with the divisions and with the UFC altogether. But that does it. Let's get on to the conversation that I had with Amir. It was a good one. We talked about everything from Floyd Mayweather, Adrian Broner on his bike and not really living up to the talent and his potential, how good Pacquiao looked that night. We're also going to get to a topic that I think a lot of you would want to hear. I thought I was going to catch some flack for it. I'm kind of glad that Amir kind of defended me in that sense. And my question is, why black fighters don't necessarily side with Pacquiao whenever he does something great, if he's not fighting Floyd Mayweather, if it's being an eight division champion, a 10-time world champion in 8 weight divisions, why they don't give him the props that he deserves. But we get into more of that and all that stuff. But I'm going to end this UFC talk right now. We're going to get into the conversation with Amir Ritchie from Elite Boxing. So here we go. All right, guys, after weeks of trying to plan this, playing phone tag with each other, it's harder when you're trying to get a guest that's from across the country. You know, it's really, really difficult, but I'm blessed and happy and honored to have, you know, one of my fellow boxing Instagram brethren here on the line right now via Skype. We got Amir here from Elite Boxing on Instagram, at A-L-E-E-T. B-O-X-I-N-G on Instagram if you need to follow him. Say hi to the people, Amir.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Be on the lookout for Elite Boxing. We've been on hold for like 2 years, but we back.
That's good to hear, man. That's good to hear. Is it just you, or do you have somebody else with you too?
No, it's just me. I had two other people working with me a few years back, so I had to get everything back in order. But you know, last time we talked, I said I was back in order, but I kind of flipped the script again. But we back.
I know how that is, man. I've stopped this shit like two times. But if you guys don't know Amir, he's all the way in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he was, you were a guest here, damn, almost like 2 years ago. He was a guest here 2 years ago.
It was almost
ago.
2 years ago, 2017.
Exactly. We were breaking down Canelo and Triple G, the first fight. And we were
it was the first one.
Opinions on that fight. So I meant to have Amir on the line earlier. We were going to do a preview of Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner. Unfortunately, that couldn't come to fruition due to some personal issues. But I have him now. I'm happy that I have him now. So now we could break down the fight and talk about what happened. And I'll give my thoughts first on what happened on a Saturday. First off, I want to talk about Marcus Brown and how good he looked.
Yeah.
We got a player at light heavyweight. I thought Badu Jack was, I just thought he had a belt. I didn't really think he would be anywhere in contention to be the lineal champion once Andre Ward retired or once Kovalev lost. Who'd he lose to again? He lost to Alvarez.
Cool, I forgot the guy.
He lost to Alvarez. Yeah. So we're looking for a new guy at light heavyweight, and since Adonis Stevenson's not there,
yeah, he's
we got
retired.
Badu Jack, and then we got Marcus Brown, and Marcus Brown
looked, he looked
more than promised, bro. Looked really, really good. Aside from the blood and the headbutt that, you know, everybody's making a big deal out of, I thought he looked really good, and especially it was a tricky matchup because Marcus Brown fights southpaw, and and obviously since Badu Jack was fighting orthodox, you know, that's pretty much how headbutts happen.
Really
impressed, and it just sucks that I was on Twitter seeing Andre Ward live tweet in regards to that fight and talk about it. And I was like, damn, we need to see that guy in there at light heavyweight again. But for right now, we got Vozdik, who's being coached by Teddy Atlas currently, who knocked out Adonis Stevenson. We got Bivol. We got Marcus Brown and a bunch of other guys. So give me your thoughts so far on what you thought about last Saturday night between Brown and Badu Jack.
From the opening bell, I didn't like how Badu Jack looked. He just didn't look like himself. You know, like you said, he just somebody with a belt. Like, I never expected Badu Jack to really do much after the retirement of Ward and, you know, Kovalev getting stopped. But, you know, I just think Marcus Brown just straight out classed him. Like, you know, he was hungry. You know, he went in there even before the headbutt. Like, before the headbutt, he was just doing them dirty, clear out. Like, you know, and I don't think Badu Jack. And then I think the should have been stopped. Like, you know, once they seen it couldn't, like, you know, the headbutt, you know, it wouldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
Basically. So, like, I thought they should have stopped it right there. It should have been over with. You know, but I just think, like, you know, he didn't have nothing for him. He didn't have nothing for him. Like, you know, I gave Badu Jack the second round. That was it. You know,
I try to give the TMT guys some shine. It's just it's not they're not really at that elite level. None of the fighters on the stable.
Broken
out. Even Badu Jack. Badu Jack was probably the most promised one, along with what's his name, Jaylion Love. Is that
Jaylion? Yeah.
I thought he was gonna be a promising fighter coming from that TMT stable. Is Devin Haney TMT? Devin Haney's not TMT, right?
I don't think so.
Okay,
he's not.
That's one guy that I'm looking forward to in the future.
Well, I was talking about a TMT fighter earlier. The one Broner had stopped not too long ago.
Ashley Theophane?
Theophane, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like none of these guys is like, they're not good. Like, you know, I mean, I hate to say it like that because they're fighters, but like, you know, like they're not like top grade.
I agree with you, bro.
You know, like Tank Davis, is Tank Davis with Floyd or is he with somebody else? Like,
I don't know, man. He's been trying to get away from Floyd, then he wants to get back with Floyd, then he wants to fight.
Yeah.
He wants to get away from Floyd. I don't know, dude.
That's like some personal stuff that he just need to stay off social media with. You know,
I think he thinks that Floyd's trying to hold him down. He thinks that Floyd is really trying to mold him to become Floyd's little pet, Floyd's little science project. And that, I think that's what Tank feels, and Tank is going to be fighting soon. I think next month.
Abner Mares.
Pacquiao. Yeah, he's fighting Abner Mares, which is going to be a fucking fight right there.
That's going to be a brawl for it all. Mm-hmm. And I think he need to stay away from Pacquiao. Yeah, he's, you know, he need to stay far away from Pacquiao as possible.
Right, like, now,
you know,
even he could talk.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Pacquiao, like, you know, he's still, you know, he not the Pacquiao he once was, you know, but like I was saying, like, you know, 10 years ago, he probably would have put Broner in a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yes, so sir. It's, yeah.
Well, let's get to that fight right now, Amir. Let's get to Pacquiao and Broner. And
yeah.
Everything going into the fight, you know, Broner talking this shit. Saying he was gonna serve cat to one of the Pacquiao supporters.
So disrespectful.
Saying he was gonna feed him sauteed German Shepherd and all that shit. Me being Filipino, yeah. and the Pacquiao's one of the reasons why I fully dove deep into the sport of boxing.
Yeah.
And he, because of, you know, we never really had a guy from our country putting us on the map like that.
Yeah, eight-time division world champion.
10-time world champion in eight weight classes.
Never
again.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Like, you know, I don't see it happening again. You know, far as Broner go, I'm surprised that 29, he haven't matured. Like, you know, and, you know, no disrespect to him. You know, he did a great job selling himself at lightweight, you know, and... Yeah, you know, he did a great job selling himself. Like, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I think Broner need to wrap it up. Like, you know, because Pacquiao basically, I ain't even going to say to use the word outclassed again. Like, you know, it was just like nothing.
That's what it was. He got outclassed.
Didn't have nothing. Simple. Yeah. It was like, you know, you talk. Like, you know, he sells fights basically off his talk. I don't know if he want to be a rapper or a boxer. Like, you know, I don't even think he take the sport serious. Like, you know, I think he get in there just to get a check, just to buy jewelry. Sorry to be disrespectful and blatant like that. Like, you know, I don't think he takes boxing serious. Like, you know, you got people out there like Floyd, Pacquiao. They make tons of money, but they take their training serious. You see Broner, he just talks bullshit. Like, oh, yeah, then you want to pull a race card. You know, then somebody flips it on him. He'd be saying, oh, yeah, they're being racist. Like, oh, exactly. You deserved everything. Like, you know, me personally, like, you know, I don't wish bad on no fighter, but I was hoping, like, Pacquiao would have knocked his ass out when he hit him with that 13-piece combination.
You know, exactly. But the thing is, a lot of people are still riding for Broner, though, and that's the issue. You know, we got celebs, and we got – even boxing purists still riding for Broner. They always tell themselves – they will talk themselves into, oh, this fight he's going to unload. He's going to – unload a barrage of punches. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. This is the fight. This fight. And then it doesn't happen. Then the next fight, they say the same shit. Then it doesn't happen. Then the next fight. Then the next fight. The next fight. Once he gets to those guys, once he gets to a Showtime Sean Porter, or he gets to a Mikey Garcia, or gets to a Pacquiao, that shit ain't happening, bro. It's not.
Yeah, four losses to two world... Four losses to four, like, world...
Yeah.
Fighters. Would you consider Sean Porter world class? Last seven. Yeah, like, yeah. That's bad. Like, you exactly. know, that's bad. Like, you know, and then Mikey Garcia whooped his ass.
Big time.
You know, what's his name? Sean Porter beat his ass, even though he knocked Sean Porter down in the 12th round.
Yeah.
Pacquiao, he annihilated him. Who was the fourth? Who was the other loss to?
Madonna.
That was the first loss. You know, how can I forget that? Like, you know, he went in there doing all... Yeah, exactly. You went in there. I don't even think he took Chino serious. Chino beat his ass. Like, you know, I think he broke his jaw, too.
Yeah, like, you know. It's bad, man. And, you know, he's out there. You know, he's always talking about after he loses, he's going to spend his millions.
That's cool.
He's going to buy a bus down. He's going to buy other pieces of jewelry and all that. But let's get to the fight itself. Let's break down the fight from opening bell. What did you think?
All right, from opening bell, like, you know, he looked like he was going to go in there and do something. Like, you know, Broner came in shape. Looked like he took his camp serious. But, you know, I think he spent 80% of that fight on the bike. But, you know, like, you know, from the opening bell, I just seen Pacquiao look comfortable. 40 years old. Like, 40 years old is not old. They make it seem in the sports world like 40 years old is this old. Like, you're an old man. Like, you know, you keep your body right. You eat right. Pacquiao, his mental is right. Like, he's spiritually right. And he used that to his advantage. You know, Broner dicks around all the time. He used it to his advantage. And he outclassed him from the opening bell. Like, you know, and I think he actually held Broner at one point because he could have stopped him.
Yeah. And,
like, you know, I forgot which round that was.
Seven.
But
round seven.
Yeah, he could have stopped him.
Yeah, he could have stopped him at seven.
I think he... Go ahead, you go ahead.
Oh, sure. I thought he was going to stop him in 8 too. I originally predicted he was going to stop him in rounds 8 or 9. I thought it was going to happen at 7, and I thought it was going to happen at 8. And then once 9 went by, I was like, oh, he ain't stopping Broner. Because Broner's got a chin, man.
Yeah, he's got a chin.
The thing is with him is what I saw is Broner, every single fight, he's going to be flat-footed.
He's very flat-footed.
He's going to retreat when the opposition is being more active and is showing more with a punch output. And his output on his end has never been there unless he was fighting some guy like Ashley Theophane or John Molina or one of those cans he fought. And it's just, it's never been there against the elite guys. Go ahead.
No, like, the piggyback on what you said, like, you know, that's my argument with Broner, like, because there's a lot of fans, a lot of guys I know that, you know, they always want to talk boxing when I see them, and they take up for him, and I said, like, who has he beat? Like, you know, he jumped the welterweight real fast, and he hasn't beat nobody. Like, I think Paulie actually beat him. Like, you know,
I thought the Paulie fight was closer than what the judges actually thought it was. I scored that fight, and I remember they were exchanging rounds, in my opinion, and
yeah,
Paulie stayed up, man. Paulie wasn't no punk. Thing is with Paulie though is just he doesn't have power. He has no power.
Yeah, Paulie don't have no power. But like, you know, Broner, I think with him, the promoters love him because of his mouth. Like, you know, he's slowly but surely becoming that gatekeeper. You know, I honestly want to give him the gatekeeper title now because he hasn't beat nobody. Like, I remember, was that 2012? I think he beat Antonio DeMarco, like, when he was somebody, but so much smaller than him, you know. And you know, I can't get Broner that world class level, like, you know. And I'm sorry for keep looking for the words that, you know, the
I know what you're saying.
You know, I just can't give him that. I can't give him that. Like, you know, he's like a little bit B-level fighter. Like, he's not good. Like, you know, he don't take it serious.
Gatekeeper's a word right there. That's the perfect word for Broner. And they've been trying to put him on since HBO. And he was calling himself Mr. HBO.
I remember they had the jackets, his whole team. Yeah, exactly. I saw all of them on Atlantic City with the Mr. HBO jackets.
I think he fought DeMarco in HBO. I want to say
he did. I was at the fight.
You were there?
I was at the fight.
He was going out. He was coming out with I remember his entrance.
Kendrick Lamar.
He came out with Kendrick. He came out with Waka. Lurkin was a hot track, and he came out with Waka Flocka Flame. I remember that. But and here's a testament to Pacquiao being at 40. He takes his training seriously. Because on the preview show for Showtime All Access, the only thing I saw Broner do was like hit mitts, run 40-yard dashes, do some core training, and you know, Pacquiao bringing what's his name back? Freddie Roach. I thought that paid dividends. I think him being back, I know they kind of downplayed it and said that he was being more of an advisor to Bull Boy Fernandez. But I thought he had a lot to say during that training camp. And I think it shows because at age 40, with Pacquiao being being knocked out by Marquez and then having those close fights with Jeff Horn. It's showing that bringing Freddie back into the fold has paid dividends, has made a whole lot of difference.
Well, that's Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan right there. That's a perfect team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he needed Freddie. Like, regardless, I don't know what they went through. Like, you know, but it needed to happen. Like, you know, it's like, you know, when you take a certain thing from a fighter, he needed to bring Freddie in. No disrespect to Boo Boy Fernandez. Like, you know, that's his longtime friend. Mm-hmm. And but they needed Freddie there. You know, especially, like, you know, this high caliber. Like, you know, how many times him and Freddie been under the lights together? Like, you know, they know how to do it.
Almost
like,
20
you know,
years.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and this wasn't no bullshit fight, even though it was Broner. Like, it wasn't no bullshit fight. He needed him. And I'm glad to see them two back together. You know,
and I'm going to piggyback off what you said, because I didn't think it was no bullshit fight either. But once the fight was announced, I was taking Broner lightly from the get-go. Because I was like, with the punch output that Pacquiao has, and when he overwhelms guys in the corner, and we see Broner on his bike, or when he's not on his bike, he's trapped in the corner against the ropes. Because Mikey Garcia took advantage of Broner when Broner was back on the ropes. I watched the fight again. And I thought Pacquiao could get him in there, and Broner's not going to do shit. And it played out exactly how I thought it was going to go, especially once I saw Pacquiao hitting mitts with Freddie Roach. I was like, oh, it's a wrap. I know it was Adrian Broner. We still think that Adrian Broner has this talent that he hasn't been able to live up to. But I thought this fight, I kind of wanted to happen in this. I kind of wanted this fight to happen sooner, instead of him fighting Matisse, because I thought the Matisse fight was just a gimme fight.
Matisse pretty much was gone. Pretty much was gone. Lucas was pretty much gone. Like, he's been done since Danny Garcia actually beat him, if you ask me. You know, so he, you know, he didn't have nothing left. Like, that was a I'm coming back fight. And that fight was, like, overseas, wasn't it? That was, like, a China fight.
Yeah, because Pacquiao hasn't fought in the States since Bradley? Because I think he started fighting in overseas when he fought Brandon Rios.
Yeah, he fought Chris Algieri over there.
In Macau, I think. And yeah. He fought Jeff Horn in Australia.
Yeah, they fought in Macau.
Yeah, he fought in Macau. Yeah. Then he fought Jeff Horn in Australia, which was a really, really bad decision.
Yeah, I don't know why he went there for Jeff Horn.
I don't think he gave a fuck. I think he just wanted to get in there, and I thought he was going to get past him. But it was a bad matchup because Jeff Horn had all the size. And it just it played out. I mean, Pacquiao dominated him and bloodied him up, but I don't know what the hell the judges saw there. And
they saw Aussies, you know, not trying to be pull a race card or nothing, but just Aussies. That's all, like, you know, I don't know who this was even. I don't even remember. But, like, you know, they was over in Australia, so it was like, look, you know.
That's our guy.
You came up. Yeah, that's our guy. Like, you know, we can't let you just walk out of here without knocking them out. Like, you know, that you know, the judges play those cards sometimes. I saw it with Amir Kharib and Lamont Peterson almost 10 years ago. Like, you know, that's what they do.
Took the decision in D.C.
Yeah, and I was at that fight, too.
That's like, crazy.
I was there, too. He took the decision. And, like, you know, I actually saw with my own eyes, I seen some of Lamont Peterson boys actually talking to the judges. If you go back and look at that fight, it took a long time for them to get the cards right.
Then that was, like, 8 years ago, man. I remember the robbery. I don't really remember the fight. I remember Amir Khan kind of took him to the cleaners. But it was still kind of close. Hey, Amir, let me ask you this question real quick. I'm probably going to get some shit for this. Every dude that I talk to in boxing that happens to be black, always, aside from you, goes against Pacquiao. And you being black, being from Philly and all that, you champion for Pacquiao, and you root for him. But why is it that people love to shit on him so bad, no matter how much good he does in the sport, at boxing, and even outside of the ring?
Okay, well, I'm gonna tell you, you're not gonna get shit for it, because we gotta be honest. Like, you know, when we talk in boxing, okay, we talking Pacquiao. So, like, you think about in the last 20 years, what have he's done for the sport? A lot. Like, you know, so it's like when you, everybody always want to go against the guy that's on top. Like, when you on top, like, you think about it. Him and Floyd was on the top at the same time. They were selling pay-per-views at the same time. So it's like, you know, a lot of people that's African-American, they want to, oh, look, Floyd is the man, like, you know, is this all you know, so they're going to go against Pacquiao. The masses is going to go against Pacquiao. They're going to say, oh, he ever did shit. He ever did this one. Actually, he has. Same resume.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Exact same resume. And here's the argument when, if you look at their careers side by side, and we're going to get to that fight. Well, that potential fight. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But I want to talk about this first, because it's been kind of been eating at me for the past couple of years now.
Yeah,
because I got a lot of friends who shit on Pacquiao, who happen to be black, and they're like, oh, dude, he ain't done nothing. You know, he ain't done this, he ain't done that. And if we look at their careers, and yes, they were parallel. They were selling pay per views, millions of buys at the exact same time during the mid 2000s, and then it got to the point where they were fighting the same people. And then Floyd fought De La Hoya, and they went to a split decision. And then Pacquiao fought De La Hoya, and then he finished him.
And stopped him.
Yeah, and then Floyd fought Hatton, stopped him late, but then Pacquiao fought Hatton and finished him too. And then they fought Cotto together, and then Pacquiao finished Cotto. And then Floyd fought Cotto, and he said that was one of the toughest fights he's ever had in his life. And so on and so forth. And I've had to explain myself too many times, and I'm kind of done with it. I'll be like, hey, bro, hey, you won. Floyd's your guy. He's undefeated. He's 51-0. I don't care. He's fought Conor McGregor in a pro boxing fight, all that. You won.
And they counting that as a real fight. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm done. No, that you know, that's you won the argument, because I can't win against those guys, no matter how much I pull the credentials for Pacquiao.
You're not gonna, no matter what you like, you know, when you got people that's like, you know, see, like me, all right, for me being a professional running a boxing website, like I love this sport. So it's like I look at it for what it is. Okay, yes. Floyd, you know, Floyd, he likes to let his fighters be a little bit more seasoned. He like to put more time on them.
Yeah.
You know, he where Pacquiao was like, Floyd was running his stuff like more business-wise. Like, all right, look, I wait for this guy to do this. He do this, you know, then I fight him. You know, he didn't want to fight Margarito when Pacquiao fought him. He never fought Margarito.
Well, Pacquiao didn't want to fight him either at the time. He wanted to fight. He wanted to get to the Cotto's, and he wanted to get to, you know, after he passed Clotty and then the other and other guys, he was like, okay, I think I'm ready for Margarito.
Okay. Yeah, but Floyd basically, you know, he waited. Like, you know, Floyd basically, he didn't really become a real big star until he fought in 2005. Yeah, he got after, it was the fight before De La Hoya was Ettore Gatti, and then he fought De La Hoya. And that's when he became a star. Pacquiao was already, like, pretty much there.
Established.
He was established. And far as, like, you know, like you said, you know, he couldn't finish De La Hoya. He took him to a split decision. He got off the stool and quit against Pacquiao. He finished Hatton in two. Floyd took Hatton to, what, the 10th or the 11th?
I thought it was earlier than that. That was, like, the 9th or 10th.
Was it the 9th or 10th?
Okay, he like that. I knew he stopped him. And he
beat him with a check left hook.
Yeah.
He beat him with a check left hook. Yeah, that's what it come down to. Like, when you got, like, you know, I hate to be – I love Floyd. I love Pac. But, like, you know, when you talking to a Floyd fan, you got to let them – talk yourself out and just let them just, because they're not going to hear nothing you say.
They're not. Like, you know, and I've learned that. I learned my lesson tenfold. And I've been riding with Floyd for a while now, and I admire Floyd. I've grown to admire Floyd since, I think, Cotto. And
yeah,
I always didn't like Floyd just for the antics, and I knew what he was capable of prior to the trash talk when he was finishing guys, when he was, you know, beating guys like Diego Corrales,
yeah,
Sean Bay Mitchell. What are the other guy's name? Arturo Gatti. He beat Arturo Gatti.
Yeah.
He
beat the brakes off Gatti.
Yeah. Who else did he beat at the time? He beat
Castillo. He beat Castillo twice.
The first one, you know, could have gone either way, and a lot of people
that Castillo. He didn't win that fight. He didn't win the first one.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that. And I watched the fight, and I totally agree.
Yeah, I watched it four times. I think I watched it twice last year. Like, I on my way to work, a lot of times in the morning, like I pick a fight. You know, when I'm on a train or whatever, and I look at a fight, you know, that's my thing. Or then, because I like, you know, when these fights are presented and people want to talk about them, I know what I'm talking about round for round.
Exactly. I like to go into Floyd fights with the same mindset. And here, okay, if we're talking about the early 2000s before they blew up and became all big, Pacquiao was fighting guys like Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales three times. And then Floyd was fighting guys like Carlos Baldomir. Zab Judah. Zab Judah had a name. He fought Zab. And then he was fighting Arturo Gatti, who, you know, everyone thought was going to be a tough fight, too, and he beat the brakes off Gatti.
Yeah.
But I think that Pacquiao had the tougher fights earlier on because he was fighting all these Mexican legends like Morales, like Marquez.
He was taking them early on, too. Like, you know, like you say, Antonio Barrera, how many times did he fight?
He fought Barrera twice, he fought Morales three times, and he fought Marquez four times.
He lost the last Marquez fight.
Of course
he got knocked. Yeah, he got cleaned, his clock got cleaned.
Yeah, that still haunts me to this day.
that was horrible. Like, you know, not to jump off topic, we was watching the fight, and the first thing I screamed out, like, oh shit, he killed him. You know?
I thought the same thing. I predicted that because I thought you're giving Marquez a fourth chance at Pacquiao while the first three were close. If it gets to round six or seven, I called it perfectly. I remember talking to people we were watching the fight with. I was talking to my brother. I'm like, Marquez is probably going to finish him in six or seven.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, dude, how are you going to always go against Pacquiao? Because I always went – I rooted for Pacquiao, but I always went against him. I always did because I knew – It was too good to be true, being Filipino and him being such a great Filipino fighter.
Yeah.
One of the world's greatest. I was like, I think he gets knocked out if you're given a guy who's as smart as Marquez.
Counterpuncher.
Counterpuncher with that power. He could finish him, especially when Pacquiao's lunging. And let's go back to the Broner fight because Manny tried to get inside a lot. And I think Broner has like a 2-inch reach advantage, and he was on his bike. Yeah, but Manny tried to get inside. Any other guy would have capitalized on Manny Pacquiao lunging in, forward, and Broner just, he would just back up, man. He was overwhelmed, outclassed, and there was nothing he could have done, but he did have some opportunities.
Yeah, he lunged in a lot, and he, you know, he was leaving himself open for uppercuts a lot. And I was like, shit, I was like, if Broner did see this, and you know, because Broner was averaging, what, 8 punches a round or something? Some dumb
less,
shit like that.
I think less than, Jim Gray said 8 and less, yeah.
8 and less, like, you know, and he was just like, I don't know if he felt something that he was like, damn, he could probably stop me or put me down, like, you know, and he just went open up, like, but Broner don't open up. Like, you know, that's his thing. He never opens up, like, you know, and I'm just watching, like, damn, like, the way Manny was lunging, you know, a fighter like Floyd would have, he would have countered an uppercut, or he would have did something. He would have capitalized on it.
Exactly.
You know, Manny just didn't have no respect for him, so he didn't give a fuck. He was like, yo, he's like, I'm going to just take him out. And that was his mission. But I think, you know, Manny was like, at one point, he said, let me just carry this dude. Like, you know, I don't want to embarrass him. Like, leave him out there to make some money. Exactly. Like, you know, and that's what I looked at it. Because it was just, it got to the point where when I was watching a fight, I was just like, and I'll never get bored watching a fight. I was just like, oh, this is some shit. Because, you know, Broner retreated, you know, especially in the championship rounds, he was running. Like, you could say he was running.
He was. I mean,
he was running. Like, he was on his bike. Like, you know, it was just like, damn, like, you know, I'm just looking like, what is going on? Like, you know, I was getting tired. And then, you know, over here, the fight didn't come on until, like, they didn't get in the ring until, like, 11:30. So it's like, It was just like drawn out, like, you know, I think I'm gonna just say this, like, you know, his ring entrance was better than his performance in that ring.
That ring entrance was trash, dude. That was garbage. I had no idea. I think one of Floyd's entrances, the one with the circus where he brought out the clowns and the jugglers and the fire breathing.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that shit was way better against Maidana.
But, yeah.
Hey, I'm done talking about Broner, man. I am done talking about Broner. Let's make this the last topic, because knowing you and knowing me, I know we could go on about boxing all night. So we're gonna talk about the last thing right here. Let's talk about the prospect of Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao 2 happening. And I'm gonna start off with this. With Pacquiao getting away from Top Rank and getting away from Bob Arum, I was weary once he signed on with Al Haymon, because I thought that Al Haymon wasn't going to treat Pacquiao right, and he was going to treat him completely differently than what he does with his other fighters. And once I saw Leonard Ellerbe in the background during Pacquiao promotional workouts and all that stuff, you know, public workouts, public interviews and all that stuff, seeing Leonard Ellerbe in the background, it was kind of surreal.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right there backing him?
He had Leonard backing him. And, I mean, I'm going to take it with a grain of two salt. And give Al Haymon and Leonard Ellerbe their props. I mean, this move to Al Haymon with Pacquiao is to get this fight going. And I know Jim Gray tried to ask for a nod from Floyd, but we all know Floyd ain't going to say nothing. We all know he ain't going to say nothing.
Well, he basically ignored Jim on national television. Like, you know, he basically ignored Jim Gray on national TV when he was asking him, like, you know, was he going to fight him again?
He kind of answered it with this, because Jim Gray, when he asked about, when it was like round 5 during Broner and Pacquiao, he asked Floyd, you know, what's going on? And then Floyd said, hey, I think Pacquiao has, he's edging out Broner 4-1 or 3-2, and it's a chess match. And then he asked him if he's going to fight Pacquiao. He said, hey, he's got to get through Adrian Broner first. So once he said that,
right,
like, no,
he
fighting.
Did see that. He did see that.
They're fighting, dude.
Yeah, they. This is the thing. The first fight, Floyd basically he basically outclassed Peck. If they fight again, hopefully it could be more competitive. I don't know, like, what was going on. I don't know if that was just like, look, let's go make some money real fast, because the hype, like, you know me. You, I know we was all waiting, like, oh, they're going to rumble. And it was just like, it was basically like Floyd counterpunching all fight. You know, I hope they bring it, this fight.
I don't think they're going to bring it. I think Floyd fights him the exact same way, and I think the first fight turned out exactly how I thought it was going to turn out. And I think the second fight is going to be the same way. I think Floyd uses distance, and Pacquiao's going to push the pace, but, you know, if you push the pace against Floyd, you ain't going to do shit. You know, he pauses his left hand out there. you know, that's just part of his thing. He gauges his distance. And when I hate it because he's so dangerous when he does this. When he's poking his left hand out there, you know something's coming. He's gauging distance and he's gaining rhythm. And I just, when I see that, I'm like, oh, whoever's fighting him is fucked.
Because
he's a master at gauging distance and using his feet. And he's one of the best counter punches I've ever seen in my life. Defense is impeccable and all that. And I don't really see Pacquiao, as much as I want him to win really, really bad, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, well, Floyd knows the ring. Like, he knows the ring, every square root of the ring. Mm-hmm. So he know how to use it. Like you said, when he's pawing, he's lining you up for something. Like, you know, and your thing is, like, Sherry Leonard said, you know, on ESPN a few months ago, you go in with a plan against Floyd Mayweather, but you got to know how to execute it.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you got to know how to execute it because, you know, you sitting in front of a human chessboard. People say they get bored watching Floyd.
I don't personally.
Yeah, like you, it's boxing. It's at its purest form right there. You know, people say, "Oh, I don't like watching Hopkins. He's boring." Like, no, it's boxing. Yeah. That's boxing. Like, you know, like that's what it comes down to. That's boxing right there. Like, you know, I don't get bored watching none of these guys. Like, you know, styles make fights at the end of the day.
And this is like a style that just doesn't, it's not tailor-made for Pacquiao. It's completely tailor-made for Floyd. You know, shoulder issues aside, you know, whatever controversy happened in the first fight, I just think that Floyd is too good. These are two completely different 40-year-olds. And it shows. And, yeah, he fought Conor McGregor, but I thought that Floyd still showed a lot in that fight going forward. And
that was Floyd's first circus show. Yeah. Second circus show was the guy over in Asia.
Nasukawa.
Yeah.
And Ryzen.
Yeah, that was Floyd's first circus show with Conor McGregor. That was, I never heard of nobody getting a world class level fight on their first professional boxing match. But hey, who am I?
Unless you're Lomachenko.
yeah, exactly. He demands world championship fights in the second fight. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he wouldn't even have a loss if he would have did that.
Yeah, the Salido fight was tough, man. We could talk about that at another time.
Yeah.
Fight calendar for the rest of the year is pretty crazy. We got Tank Davis, Keith Thurman's coming back.
Yeah,
we got what
Terrence
else?
Crawford, Amir Khan.
Terrence Crawford, Amir Khan. I'm so glad it's Amir Khan instead of Luis Collazo. That's a way better fight. It ain't much, but it's way better than Terrence Crawford versus Luis Collazo, which was originally, I think, in the talks.
Yeah.
What else we got? We got what's the big one? Oh, Danny Jacobs Canelo on the Zone.
Yeah,
we got that.
Yeah,
one.
The Zone. Yeah, they just signed on to do that fight. That
yeah,
right
fight
there
deal.
Is a three. Yeah,
three fight
so
deal.
That right there, I don't see Danny Jacobs getting out of the eighth round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Quote me if I'm wrong. I see Canelo stopping him.
I see Canelo stopping him too. I just think the speed and the output is too much for Jacobs to deal with.
Yeah.
Hey, Amir, we'll talk again once that fight comes along. Get you back on the show for that one. And then keep me updated on Elite Boxing. But let the people know where they can find you one more time.
You can find me at Elite Boxing. That's A-L-E-E-T. B-O-X-I-N-G on Instagram, or you can follow my other boxing page, that's Mir Rich. That's where I just talk about, like, you know, up-to-date fights. That's M-I-R-R-I-T-C-H on Instagram.
There you go. Amir Richie. Hey, I'm going to get you on again soon. Really appreciate you coming on, and, you know, we could talk about this all night, shoot the shit.
Talk
boxing and all that stuff. If you were to come to the West Coast, let me know. We'll do something. We'll link up. We'll watch a fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully, you could come through during a fight night. And, you know, we finally got this done. And I want to thank you once again, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it all the time, bro. I really do. All
right. Appreciate that, man. Hey, you have a good night, okay? I know it's late over there.
You too.